and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less crypto and DeFi update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Friday, December 18th, 2020.
Bitcoin is down about 0.3% to 22,889. Ethereum is up about 1% to 650. Both are relatively flat from yesterday. We're staying heavily above 20,000, but really found our max around 23,000, which I think, we have to go back to the prediction. Someone made that prediction. It might have been me. It might have been someone else. But 23,000 was one of the kind of high points that was predicted. Looks like that might have been the winner, at least for 2020.
All right. Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does tax tracking for crypto and DeFi, as well as gain loss reporting, crypto bookkeeping, invoicing, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. Up first, the U.S. Treasury is proposing rules to monitor crypto going to self-hosted wallets. Some people are calling this an existential threat to peer-to-peer transactions.
Yeah, so these rules came out last week. But what happened earlier in the week, I guess, but what happened over the course of the week is that everyone has responded to them, like literally everybody. The Coinbase CEO came out saying that this is ridiculous. You know, Chainalysis came out and said that this is ridiculous. There is just across the board, everyone does not like this. The idea, I mean, essentially the problem isn't, that this isn't a mechanism to do correct AML. Like no one is arguing that, like, you know, no one is arguing that if we as a country are truly interested in controlling the flow of currency and tracking criminals through us and all this kind of stuff, that this isn't a mechanism to do it. That is not the issue. The issue is that other countries aren't going to do this. Other countries already don't have the same AML and KYC laws that we do. The US in particular, because of kind of two parts. One is the importance of the tax collecting, the power that tax collecting has in our country, but then also just the rent seeking. The way I look at it is the rent seeking that the financial industry has done. So the traditional financial industry, the traditional brokers, the traditional, you know, investment banks, things like that, the rent seeking that they have done has been to deflate other financial service providers. That's why it's so hard. That's why you just didn't, like, you know, 5 years ago, you did not see a lot of financial service type companies starting because it was so hard to do. Now you see one starting once, like there is a new one starting once a week on crypto. If you're a traditional financial company, that's going to scare the crap out of you. Adding this type of friction to the system is going to protect you in America. And that's great for you in America for the time being, but it screws over America itself significantly on the world stage. It just means everyone moves to either, you know, you look at what happened with, like, you know, Napster got shut down and went to BitTorrent, which is completely untraceable and unstoppable. Well, you know, you start adding these BS, you know, you can even trace it in America, like more and more Binance gets KYC, more pressure on, you know, BitMEX. And suddenly DEXs are doing the biggest month they've ever done. All this stuff is connected, you know, and the more pressure you put on making hard people to trade, the more they will develop illicit means of doing it. Like the more you're going to see ZK snark exchanges and stuff like that, because there is just so much pressure to do it. So I think this is a fundamentally incredibly flawed view of the world. It's rent seeking. It's regulatory lock-in from existing players. And no matter what, it's not going to work anyways. Like, so you're doing all this harm without any good. So it annoys me deeply.
Yeah, I figured that would be your take.
Yeah.
All right, next. Pierre Richard has made an urgent plea to lawmakers, instead of selling the Bitcoin that they've seized, to keep it.
Yeah, so there's a lot of Bitcoin that has been seized by the U.S. government. And the one that he pointed at in particular was the sale of the after the Silk Road was captured, there was 144,000 Bitcoins which were snatched and were sold in 2015 for $122 million. That today would be worth $3.3 billion. you know, you can, it's hard to make that argument. Now, obviously, there are other problems that kind of go into it. Is that, you know, is the government really in a good position today to custody coins? Like, I'm not sure they are. But that's, you know, that's why they would go and build relationships with custodial providers and things like that. I 100% agree with this. Like, the U.S. government should start looking at Bitcoin and cryptocurrency as they would a traditional gold reserve. Like, we still reserve a lot of gold in this country, not as much as we did when the dollar was backed by the gold standard, but we still reserve quite a bit of gold in this country. We reserve a lot of, we have a lot of strategic reserves. We have strategic reserves for everything from oil to wheat to, I don't know, we have a few really funky ones like jet fuel and kerosene and things like that. So having a strategic reserve of crypto makes a lot of sense to me. It just hedges the government's holdings and hedges us against our own, you know, inflationary practices.
So just five protocols have 10 billion locked in DeFi. That's Maker, Wrapped, BTC, Compound, Aave, and Uniswap.
Yeah, this is a cool metric. Now there's one issue here, which is the Wrapped BTC is not really a DeFi protocol. Like, wrapping BTC is not what I consider a DeFi protocol. Wrapping a coin is not a DeFi protocol. So there's kind of one issue with that metric a little bit, which then carries forward to the next metric, because the next metric is that the current DeFi TVL is $16 billion. But they're including stuff like Wrapped BTC in that. And that's, you know, Wrapped BTC is not, it's what you could look at the Wrapped BTC being used on one of the DeFi protocols. You could look at it being used in Compound, look at it being used in Balancer pools or whatever it is. That would be more interesting. But just looking at Wrapped BTC by itself is not interesting. So anyways, this gets back to that fascinating discussion we've had time and time again about how you really truly look at the TVL number and track it. But all that being said, what I've said since the very beginning is that what you want to do is you want to pick a metric and sort of follow it magnitudinally. So however it is that they're calculating it, use that same metric over time and you'll see the changes and see it move the direction. So the first time we reported on this metric, it was $8 billion, something in that range. It's 4 months ago, 3 months ago, something in that range. And now it's at $16 billion. So essentially doubled in the last few months. That's the number you want to be looking at. That's the order of magnitude change. That is spectacular. DeFi is here to stay. I'll link that back to our last couple of stories. Like, DeFi is definitely here to stay.
So Morgan Stanley's head of digital asset markets says DeFi is poised to keep its momentum in 2021.
It's almost like we planned that. He just happened to agree with me. Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, it's cool that I think what I actually want to talk about here was interesting is that it's actually really cool that some of these traditional investment institutions are picking up heads of digital assets. That's what I like. So this guy is, you know, it's really interesting actually having a company like Morgan Stanley with someone who that they would say is their head of digital assets. And they actually have someone who's looking at it deeply and thinking about it deeply. So but anyways, he says what I said. I mean, I don't think anyone can seriously look at the DeFi markets and not expect, you know, the traditional finance markets are in the trillions of dollars, the size of those markets. That's always how I like to analyze a market comparisons. So when I look at Bitcoin, the market I'm going to compare it to is gold. So there's something like $6 trillion of gold floating out there in the world. Right now there's, actually, I'm not even sure what the market cap of Bitcoin is right now. It must be around $400 to $500 billion, some of that range. But, you know, that's an order of magnitude change. So there's a 100x to get to be the size of gold for Bitcoin. And then you kind of what I base my predictions for Bitcoin on is what percentage of the gold market share they'll be able to capture. Well, there's not complete overlap there, but it's pretty similar. So, you know, that, so I started $6 billion and or $6 trillion $6 trillion. Jesus. And then I make some multiplication and figure it out. So this is the same thing. You know, there's like the actual traditional finance markets are in the hundreds of trillions of dollars. So where we are with Binance with DeFi right now at $10 billion or $16 billion, it is a micro drop in the bucket. It is barely, I mean, it's 0.001% of the actual market. So this, you know, if you think that DeFi will capture 5% of traditional finance markets, then you are going to get to the DeFi TVL, whatever that is. It's Ethereum value and balancer values and all those kind of things up in the probably trillions of dollars themselves which is crazy.
All right. And last, the Salvation Army now accepts Bitcoin and Ether donations in the U.S.
Hey, this is our PSA. So for everyone, it's December. Crypto is way up. It's the holidays. If you have a little bit, if you've made a lot of money from cryptocurrencies, as many of us have, Salvation Army is a great cause, and you can send them your Ether.
Great. Well, thanks so much, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily. Have a good one.
Have a good one.